What's happening, everybody? Justin, Bridgewater's Finest on YouTube, Blockbuster underscore guy on Twitter, and welcome to the AFC and NFC Championship Game edition of my weekly NFL football pick show for the 2023 NFL season and postseason. Ladies and gentlemen, the AFC title game and NFC title game are but a few short days away. There are four teams left in this bad boy: the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Detroit Lions. Motor City Dan Campbell pulls the Detroit Lions into the NFC title game. An amazing, amazing story for Dan Campbell in particular, from 0-16 to the NFC title game. What an incredible turnaround for that franchise in a relatively short period of time. That is pretty darn cool. And I say that, of course, as a dedicated fan of another team in the NFC North. I still think it's just phenomenal what they've done in Detroit. So, looking back on the divisional round, I didn't have quite as much success in the divisional round as I had on Super Wild Card Weekend, but it was still a winning week for me. I was 3-1 straight up, and then went even money on the betting picks, 2-2 against the spread, and 2-2 on the totals. That means I am 8-2 straight up in these playoffs, and 6-4 each against the spread and over under, 20-10 overall in these playoffs. That feels really good with just three football games left to go. I actually think that means I've locked up an above 500 playoff run, so we certainly enjoy that. And when we take a peek at the Bridgewater's Finest straight up pick'em pool for season 12 of this show, we are going to find that I'm still in 12th place out of 52, 1,556 out of 2,308 possible confidence points, a clip of 67.4%, and I brought in all but four confidence points last week, 36 out of 40. That has me at 90% from the week. It is not good enough to win the week. In fact, we did have six teams who went a perfect 4-0 picking the games last week, so they obviously brought in all 40 of the possible confidence points. But we have had a development at the top of the pick'em pool. The development is this: Marvin Pixett, who won the regular season and was still leading the pool heading into last week, made picks, but did not set confidence points for those picks. So he went 2-2, but got 0 points out of those games, which means Jason leapfrogging Marvin Pixett to take over the overall lead here with just three football games left to go. Only 40 confidence points are left on the board. Marvin Pixett may have just taken himself out of the running for winning this overall pool. 12-point lead for Jason overall with 1,607 confidence points, which is just over 69.5%. 40 points left to play. He's got a 12-point lead. The top nine in the pool are still mathematically alive, which unfortunately means I am no longer mathematically alive. I am eliminated. But the top five are still within 29 points, and everything is still possible here. But it blew me away when I looked at that and I went, "No, Marvin, no." Like, Marvin didn't set his points. So I think Marvin, he's still mathematically in there, but boy, it's going to be a tough hill to climb. Jason definitely has the inside track to winning this thing now. An absolutely crazy turn of events in the pick 'em pool. Now what we're going to be looking at, like I mentioned, before we kick things off and talk about the games, I wanted to talk about a few hot takes that I think we're going to see in this NFL offseason. And I want to talk a little bit about what the ramifications of those things might be. Like I said, I've got five of them. So here we go. We're going to start in Arizona, where one of their biggest pieces on defense is currently without a contract, but does have a club option. And that is Buda Baker at free safety. Hot take number one: the Cardinals either sign and trade Buda Baker or decline his club option. So the reasons I have for this: his club option is a $19 million cap hit. It's a lot of money for a player in Buda Baker, who is very talented. Like, Buda Baker's an exceptionally talented defensive player. However, the Cardinals are not going to be competitive inside of his window, because I think he's 28, 29 years old, might only be 27, but like within his window as an elite top end player, like the Cards are not going to be competitive for, like, they're still seasons away from being a competitive football team. So his value is still pretty high as a top safety. And I think there are at least 10 teams in the NFL, my Green Bay Packers potentially being one of them, who need or could address the safety position. So there's hot take number one. I think the Arizona Cardinals, I think what's more likely is they probably sign and trade, because he does definitely have value. Like, to decline his club option is to basically send him away for nothing. And I don't necessarily think that they're going to do that. But I do think that they will sign him to a contract and then immediately turn around and trade him, or allow another team to negotiate a contract with him and then turn around and do the trade. In any case, I do believe the Cardinals will move on from Buda Baker in this offseason, and I think they're going to get some kind of value back for him on the trade market, whether it's a third round pick, maybe a two from a contending team, something like that. I think they're going to get some value back for Buda Baker. Hot take number two takes us to Washington, the Washington Commanders. I believe the Commanders are set to make a very, very big splash in this offseason on both sides of the football. That's hot take number two. The Commanders have $84.3 million in cap space heading into 2024. On the defensive side of the ball, they can make that move in free agency. They don't have to give anything up. I think they're going to be all in on free agents like Danielle Hunter, Randy Gregory, Adoree Jackson in the secondary, Jerome Baker, Za'Darius Smith. I think they're going to be in on most of these players and come away with a big fish defensive free agent. I really expect that that's going to be the case for the Commanders in this offseason. On the offensive side, I think it's specifically in the quarterback market. They've got some wide receivers of intrigue. They've got some running backs of intrigue. I think it's the quarterback position. I don't think they're sold on Sam Howell. Honestly, after last season, it would be kind of tough for you to be. But I think they're going to kick the tires on basically every veteran free agent quarterback. So you're looking at like Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield may be a good... really good option to be a Washington Commander next season. Or if Justin Fields is traded from Chicago, I'm pretty confident he's going to be a Washington Commander. So I think it's either going to be Jameis or Baker or a trade for Justin Fields. But it's going to be a big splash, and Washington can afford to pay Justin Fields. They absolutely can. And it wouldn't shock me if they did whatsoever. So that's hot take number two. I think the Commanders are going to be one of the most active teams in this offseason, and I think you're going to see a big splash on both sides of the football. Hot take number three for this coming offseason takes us to Denver, the Denver Broncos. Obviously, you've got a situation there at quarterback in Russell Wilson, who has been with the team now, I guess, for 2 years. Question marks about, you know, a varying degree of success there in Denver. Hot take number three here is that Russell Wilson will still be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos next season. This is a pretty mild take, I suppose. But I mean, right now there is no financial path for the Broncos to move on from Russell Wilson. Like, they can't afford to do it. Next offseason they can. But this offseason, there is no way, shape, or form that the Broncos can move on financially from Russell Wilson. It would cost them $85 million in dead cap space. They're not going to do that. Like, that's financial suicide. Like, that is not, absolutely not going to happen. But next offseason, that number drops to $49.6 million. $30 million cheaper, more than $30 million, $35 million cheaper. At that point, I think you can justify it. So we're going to be looking at one more year, I believe, of Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback in Denver. Also because there's no succession plan in place. They've got Jarrett Stidham and they've got Ben DiNucci. Like, there's no quarterback of the future in Denver's quarterback room right now. So based on that, they're going to have to probably draft a quarterback in this draft. They might not need to do it at number 12. They can possibly hold on to the second round. There are some interesting quarterback prospects in the second round. If they have a second round pick, I believe they do. Even somebody like Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix is not looking, increasingly not looking like a first round prospect right now, at least in terms of, you know, draft rankings and things like that. Like, Bo Nix could be a steal for them in the second round, and then you've potentially got your quarterback of the future in the room. Right now they don't, which is why they can't move on from Russell Wilson, and they have no money to do that either. So it's not, this offseason it's not going to happen. So hot take number three is we got one more year of Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Hot take number, let's make that four. Hot take number four. This one might be my favorite one. So hot take number four is that the Houston Texans in free agency land the big offensive fish, which is Mike Evans. Mike Evans, I'm predicting, goes to the Houston Texans in free agency, and I think he replaces Robert Woods. I think they can afford to move on from Robert Woods and turn Robert Woods essentially into Mike Evans. So the Texans are in incredible financial shape heading into 2024. They've got almost $75 million in cap space. They've already got 52 contracts signed. So, I mean, they've got all the cap space in the world. You know, shout out to CJ Stroud still being on his rookie deal for like three more years at least. And they need to maximize that rookie deal in a big, bad way. Everybody saw how good CJ Stroud was this offseason. Everybody saw how incredible that guy is going to be. And you need to maximize his abilities with those around him. Picture, if you will, CJ Stroud throwing the ball to Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Mike Evans. Get bent, everybody else in the AFC. What an impossible to defend against offense. CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Mike Evans. Look at this. Mike Evans in his last three seasons has averaged 77 catches, 1,130 yards, and 11 touchdowns. That's his average over the last 3 years. He's also a stud in the playoffs. He's played five playoff games in the last three seasons. He's caught 34 balls for 505 yards and three touchdowns in five games. He shows up and delivers in the postseason. Houston's postseason window, they weren't expecting it to be open. It very much is. So with his postseason window very firmly open and their postseason window very firmly open, a guy like Mike Evans makes that team dangerous, makes that team exceptionally, exceptionally competitive. Sort of market value, I guess, if you want to talk about it, for Mike Evans, SpotTrack lists it at 4 years, $95.3 million. So you're looking at an average annual value of just under $24 million, which would put him among the top like eight wide receivers, I believe, in the NFL. The Texans could very easily pay Mike Evans like top 3 to 5 wide receiver money, which is like 25 mil plus, put an out in the contract after like year three, because that's the entirety of CJ Stroud's rookie deal. So why not? People are going to look at it like, oh, you paid $25 million for Mike Evans, you overpaid. It's like, yeah, but I have the money to do that. There's nothing stopping me from overpaying for one of the most consistent wide receivers in football. That's hot take number four. It makes too much sense up here. Mike Evans will be a Houston Texan. And the final hot take, probably the most baffling one, is this. I do think the Buffalo Bills are going to move on from Stephon Diggs. I do. And I think they would be right to do so. So the reason that this is baffling is because financially it makes no sense at all. Absolutely no sense at all. The Buffalo Bills are currently $43.6 million in the hole against next year's salary cap ceiling. So they're like have negative $43.6 million in cap space. And it would actually be $4 million more expensive in dead cap to get rid of Diggs than it would be to just keep him. And I acknowledge that. And in the last three seasons, I also acknowledge Stephon Diggs has been like an elite regular season wide receiver. In the last three seasons, Stephon Diggs has caught 318 balls for over 3,800 yards and 29 touchdowns. That's massive. That's massive, massive, massive output. But in the playoffs, in those 3 years, he's played six playoff games and has disappeared. Diggs has disappeared in the postseason. Six games, 27 catches, 289 yards. This is in six games, no touchdowns. You cannot pay 27 when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. You cannot pay $27 million against the cap for, generously speaking, five catches for 50 yards. You can't do it. When the games matter the most, you can't afford to do it. The Bills should make this move, eat it for a year financially, because that's what it's going to be. One way or the other, that's what it's going to be next year. They're going to eat it for a year. Bring back a top 60 pick, probably, for Stephon Diggs, even though he's 30. He's one of the elite wide receivers in football in the regular season. So, yeah, they'd probably bring back a second-round pick. That wouldn't surprise me at all. They should do that. Bring back the top 60 pick either this year or next. You can kick it down the road to next year. Draft the best wide receiver available and move forward with Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakir, and whoever the rookie wide receiver is. Because Khalil Shakir showed up in the postseason. And over his last, like, I want to say like their like last 10 games or something, has put up almost identical numbers to Diggs, while Diggs has gotten like 80 targets. And Shakir's gotten half of that. Again, I got nothing against Stephon Diggs. I really don't. But if the Buffalo Bills, who are firmly within a Super Bowl window, are actually trying to win one, you cannot have a $27 million wide receiver who disappears. Those are my hot takes. My five hot takes for this coming off season. The Cardinals sign and trade Budda Baker. The Commanders make a big splash on both sides of the ball in free agency or the trade market. Russell Wilson is still the Denver Broncos starting quarterback next season. Mike Evans goes to the Houston Texans in free agency. And the Buffalo Bills move on from Stephon Diggs. Those are my five hot takes in this offseason. So now that we are through those, I guess it's time to talk about these games, isn't it? The AFC and NFC championship games break down as such. In the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs travel to Baltimore to take on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And on the NFC side of things, the Detroit Lions, Motor City Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, and the Detroit Lions travel to San Francisco to take on Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. The number one seeds are still alive in both conferences. The AFC title game goes first, so let's take a peek at that first. Obviously, Kansas City in Baltimore taking on the Ravens. For the Chiefs, this will be the tail end of back-to-back road games for them. Of course, they just played on the road in Buffalo victoriously, of course, on the divisional round. The Ravens are kind of going to have the benefit of a long week here. Ditto with the Niners because they did play on Saturday in the divisional round. So they will have that extra day of rest, basically. So there's a little bit of an advantage there. The Baltimore Ravens have moved now to, or they're still, sorry, I should say, still plus 12 on the season in the turnover ratio. That game with Houston was clean on both sides. No turnovers and no turnovers generated for either teams. Kansas City winning their game last week despite a pair of Mecole Hardman fumbles, one in the run game and one in the receiving game. So to overcome, you know, a pair of turnovers like that, sometimes that can be deadly. In fact, most of the times that will be deadly, but wasn't the case for Kansas City. Obviously, they benefit from Tyler Bass missing that kick at the end of the game. Between these two teams, I mean, I think any way you slice this, you have to look at the Baltimore Ravens as the superior football team. I think when it comes to quarterback play, it's probably a push. I think Patrick Mahomes has better instincts as a quarterback, but in terms of their offensive outputs, I think it's really a push. I think both of these quarterbacks are like equally talented, slightly different ways, but equally talented. The wide receiver room, you give it to Baltimore with a bullet. The running back, I think Kansas City has the better top running back. Like, I would take Pacheco over, I guess it would be Gus Edwards. Overall run game, probably have to give that to Baltimore, I would say. Unfortunately, this should be like the tight end matchup of the century in Travis Kelce versus Mark Andrews. Of course, Mark Andrews injured and won't be there. Defensively, as good as the Kansas City Chiefs have been over this last stretch of games, and they have been, like, they're only giving up 17 points a game. That's really good. 17 a game over their last four. The Chiefs' defense has been playing exceptionally well. Unfortunately, they're about to run into a buzzsaw in the Baltimore Ravens, who have just completely off the charts defensive efficiency over the last four games. They're only giving up like 14 points a game over that span. Like, the Ravens' defense is on an entirely different level. Taking a look at the betting picks here, the Ravens are laying -3.5 as a home favorite, and the total is set at 44.5. Ravens are 10-5 against the spread as betting favorites this season, and that includes being 6-3 against the spread as a favorite at home. But they are going up against the Kansas City Chiefs team, was only an underdog twice this year, and they won both of those games. So 2-0 against the spread. Both of those games were on the road, so something's kind of got to give here, because you've got very strong favorite against, you know, by percentage, the best underdog team in the league all year. Both of these teams also sub 500 to the over this season. Chiefs only 6-13 to the over this season. So this Chiefs offense, obviously, we've all known, not exactly what we've come to expect from the Chiefs. And Kansas City 4-10 to the over against AFC opponents. So let's take the easy part here first. This game is staying under that 44.5 point total. Both of these defenses are very good and certainly will be capable of keeping this game under. So we're going under the 44.5 point total. Not by a ton, mind you, because that's a very beatable number. But we're going to take the under on the 44.5. By a final score of 26-17, the Baltimore Ravens are going to go to Super Bowl 58. So I've got Baltimore winning 26-17. I'm very fearful of the turnover problem, because the Chiefs, for as good as their defense has been, in their two playoff games, they've only generated one turnover. And they've turned the ball over three times in their two games. So if they lose the turnover battle in this game, it could genuinely get ugly, because that's how good this Ravens team is on both sides of the ball. I do think they marginally lose the turnover battle in this game. Maybe 2-0 or 3-1 or something like that. But that's going to be enough for me to take the Ravens by a somewhat comfortable score. You know, two possessions at the very least. So I'm going to lay the -3.5 here on Baltimore as well. They're the number one seed in the AFC for a reason. They deserve to be. They deserve to be the favorites by this much, and I think they're going to cover that number. So once again, 26-17, Baltimore. Ravens win, Ravens cover, and give me the under on the 44.5 point total. All right, who will meet them from the NFC side? The Detroit Lions traveling to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. The Lions, +2 to the turnover ratio last week. They did an excellent job against Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks, putting up points, moving the ball, being opportunistic on the defensive side. They were excellent in that space. The Niners were +2 in the turnover ratio as well against Green Bay last week. That was a pair of Jordan Love interceptions. The Packers on defense, I thought, played well, but didn't generate any turnovers. They had opportunities to, just didn't wind up happening. So once again, the Niners are a team that I'm going to give the benefit of the long week, that extra day of rest from having played on Saturday. They've moved their turnover ratio for the season also to +12. It's as good as Baltimore. I mean, this defense has been really good all season long. That's no surprise to anybody. In a lot of ways, the heavy underdog in this game, which is the Detroit Lions, you could argue their team is like just as good. Quarterback, in terms of how they performed this season, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, I think it's relatively close. The run game, Christian McCaffrey is obviously a monster, but the two-headed monster of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, I think you could put it about the same. The wide receivers, I would say that you'd have to give the Niners an edge here, assuming Deebo Samuel plays. That's one of the big storylines coming into this game. Is Deebo Samuel actually going to play in this game? Dealing with that left shoulder injury, we don't know that at this point. And that kind of feels like a 50-50 as to whether he will play or not. So if it's Brandon Ayuk versus Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think you got to give the edge to Amon-Ra St. Brown. And that's no disrespect to Ayuk. He's a player I like a lot. But Amon-Ra St. Brown has been operating on another level this year. And then you look at the defenses. And most people would say, well, Justin, like, let's be reasonable here. The Niners is the Niners. They are. But are they lately? I don't know that they are. So over their last four games... excuse me, over the last four games, 334 yards against per game, that's great. But opposing teams have turned that into 23 points a game. For Detroit, 426 yards against per game, but opposing offenses have only turned that into 21.5 points a game. Fewer points against per game than the Niners. Detroit's defensive efficiency is 19.8 over those last four games. San Francisco is 14.3. In fact, below league average. League average right now, I believe, is like 16 point something. They're below that. You don't want to be below that number. You want to be above that number. The Niners are below it by like a couple of yards. So it's not particularly close. I would argue the defense that's playing the best right now is the Detroit Lions. And I think the numbers back me up in saying that. That's not to say that the Lions are objectively a better defense. I don't think they are. It's based on what have you done for me lately? And lately, I think the Lions have done more. In saying that, I think this is a matchup of two pretty high-powered offenses, efficient offenses as well. So, we're going to take the over on this point total. First of all, the Niners are 7-point favorites in this game. A full touchdown. The point total is set at 51. So, first things first, let's go over on that point total. Yeah, it's a 50. It's a relatively big number. But let's go over on it, because I do genuinely think the over is the play here. I think this game gets into the 50s. It might be close, but I do think it goes over. The Detroit Lions, interestingly enough, against the spread on the road this year, 7-2. 2-1 as a dog. So most of the time, the Lions have been favorites. But still, 7-2 against the spread away from home. The Niners, in 9 home games, all favorites, 3-6. The Lions were also tied for the most overs in the NFL this year at 12. And both teams are above 500 to the over against the rest of the league. So, you know, you're looking at 2 teams that obviously know how to score a bunch of points. So that's why I feel pretty comfortable taking over on that 51-pointer. By a final score of 28-24, Motor City Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions are winning the NFC Championship and going on to face the Baltimore Ravens in Super Bowl 58. Motor City Dan Campbell and the boys in Detroit, brand new Lions, ladies and gentlemen. The Detroit Lions win the NFC Championship. And some of you are going to sit there and go, oh yeah, he's picking against the team that beat his team last week. Yeah, in favor of a division rival. Like, do you really think that's the case? You really think that I'm just like falling all over myself to heap praise on a division rival? Not really. I objectively, genuinely believe that the Detroit Lions are going to win the NFC. That's why the pick's being made. So, Baltimore and Detroit. I like the Lions to win. I like the Lions to cover +7, obviously. And I like the over on the 51-point total. So again, 26-17, Baltimore. And 28-24, Detroit. That's how I think the 2 games this week are going to go. That's it for me, Justin, Bridgewater's Finest on YouTube, Blockbuster_guy on Twitter. That's my matchup for Super Bowl 58, Baltimore versus Detroit. What do you think are we going to see in Super Bowl 58? Do you think it's Ravens-Lions? Do you think it's Ravens-Niners? Do you think it's Niners-Chiefs? Do you think it's Chiefs-Lions? Who do you think's going to Super Bowl 58? Let me know in the comments section below. Thank you so much for taking the time to watch, and we will see you again for the Super Bowl 58 live stream. We'll go 2 weeks maybe, week and a half. We'll figure it out.